You might like to turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we do just that, looking to you. Spirit of God, it's your time. Encourage these dear people that they might be stimulated and moved in order to reap the blessings of each moment, that God, you'd give us thy word, thy work, thy grace, and thy mercy, that we might proceed with greater understanding, a solid, stronger position, so that we can proceed in the thick and thin of it to your honor and glory. So God, here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, looking at God's wonderful management, foresight, and foreknowledge, he sees and knows all ahead. And thus he creates, and we shared together this morning, like he created before he knows what humans are going to do. They have the right to choose. He gave them that. Angels had the right to choose. It has to be that way. He doesn't want robots. And since they're going to have the right to choose, they will choose negatively. Therefore, if he's going to go and create us, he's going to have to provide a solution. And therefore, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, before anyone's ever created, God already knows the only way he can proceed with his wonderful plan is that he must be the center of it, which is the whole point. Now, having said that, Isaiah chapter 45, just reminding ourselves, in Isaiah 45, picking up please, in verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know, they don't know, but they're going to know, from the rising of the sun, and from the west, east and west, that there is none beside me, that I am the Lord, and there is none else. I'm the only one. I want everyone to know I'm the only one. And therefore, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness, like in Genesis 1:1. I make peace and create evil. I have the opposite. When I'm left out, you're going to find evil. The absence of God, the absence of good, you're left with evil. The Lord do all these things. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, having said that, over to chapter 46. And again, we are reminded, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient old times, the things that are not yet done, they haven't even existed yet, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I'm going to do all that needs to be done the way it needs to be done. And so history, Genesis 1:1, and 2 begins, Genesis Revelation 21, 1 and 2, it ends. New heavens and new earth. So there's a beginning and a wonderful ending to it. So we're in the middle of it. Here we are in time. Time had a beginning. Time's going to have an end. So therefore, history begins. Us humans on planet Earth, we've shared all these things. And after the Genesis flood, remember, there's no religion, there's no gods, there's no idolatry in the sense of Buddhas or anything. Just after the flood, though, after the flood, his judgment, we've got to do something in the light of God's judgment. So we get tower and a city, Genesis 11. And the political and the religious begins, as you know. And we have all the gods. And history goes through with the gods. And each nation has their gods in one form or another. That's what they do. And as they go through, all the nations proceed. And as they go from each generation to each time, history is happening. Humans are being humans. They're living and dying, living and dying, living and dying. But history, apart from historians, history is usually not, we don't benefit from history. We really don't know history. All we know is it's our time, our mother and father, our grandfather died, and now it's our turn. And to what measure we remember did our mother and father, what did they learn in their lifetime so that we don't make the same mistakes? You don't hear that. People don't do that. Nope. We just go and it's our time to do the thing in whatever the going thing is, like it is now, and our country and world, where it is. And that's what they do. That's all they know. History, as they know it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's the now and the future, and we're looking. So everyone living has their present they live in. And since we don't learn a lot from recorded history, and we don't learn from yesterday that well, since we don't do that, so therefore we would repeat history. And that's what we do. It's a changing world. But history, the things of history remain consistent about humans. Humans the same. They're going to go with all their gods, and they're going to go with all their gods, and very zealous. It was very important to sacrifice children and whatever it was to honor their god before they went to battle. Or what they wanted blessing, the Incas, the Mayas, the Aztecs, they all want to. Whether they want the whatever, and they sacrifice, and they do all that. And they do that. After a while doing it, watch history turn the pages. After a while, history goes by. And looking at history, and what do we know? The gods didn't do very good. We had all our gods and sacrifices. We don't do any good. So, where are the gods? Gods and that kind of thinking, which was universal, down. And we don't find it. Not anymore. We look out. Hardly ever. Oh, some parts of India, China, different systems. Maybe, but not much. Not much. So now, what do we have? Well, we don't record history very good, except for the historians. And they have history, but how much do they learn and how much do people want to listen to what history has to tell us? So therefore, the politics and religion continue. But this time, as they continue, as time goes on, we don't have the gods. We don't have idolatry in the same form, different form. So as we go down the corridor, we have the what have we got? We've evolved into, back in the 1800s, when communism and evolution began at the same time, and in doing what they did, which we have. So now in the process, and the pilgrims came over to seek God, etc., and the Reformation, all of those things. Now, so what do we have? Well, we've got communism and evolution. Side by side. And what do we know? What have we got? We're just evolved from whatever, and we're here. We don't know why we're here. We don't know where we're supposed to be going. So hang on to that. So here we are going down the corridor of time, and no one knows very much about anything of the future except what do we do. So without gods, to look for the gods to take us and keep us, we have them gone. What are we going to have? Well, here we are on planet Earth, and we have all kinds of things that we're looking at. And if you could liken it to an illustration, our system, our world global system, is like a great big machine. And the machine has a brain, electronic brain, with all the computer in it and everything. And the world, wherever you live in the world, you are what? You are trying to exercise the machine for your benefit, because the machine is the future. Machine has everything. And we don't have any future with God. We've left him out of the picture. And we're evolution, communism, nothing thereafter. This is it. You have to understand that. Again, we remind ourselves. You have to understand, to the people, apart from God's grace, from knowing him, this is it for you and for the children. This is it. There's no more. And therefore, they're going down. Here's this large machine. And the world, but we're like in the world system, we're using it, weather, global warming, et cetera, and everything, all of that. And all of that's a bunch of baloney. Is that all right to say that? Bunch of baloney. I told a doctor that the other day. He said, you gotta be concerned. I said, no, you don't. I shouldn't have said it that boldly. I told him, I said, that's your big no-no. Don't even consider global warming. There's no way it's going to happen. Do you understand? I'm telling you that from heaven. I'm telling you, I'm so sure of it. Not only secularly, but sacredly. It can never happen. It isn't God's plan. It doesn't fit anything. And you and I would have to live another 1,000 years before the temperature goes up a tenth of a degree. And I know you enjoy life, but you don't have to worry about global warming or the iceberg that was melting and the Connecticut will be flooded because of the icebergs melting, etc. No, anyway, global warming. What are we doing? We're caught up in the machinery. We're caught up in the system. What are we looking for? Whatever global culture, whatever country you live in, we're looking to work the system. Whatever our background is, we're looking to work the system. That's what we're trying to do. And the global electronics and all of that, with electronics, all of these things we're using it. And you know what? In doing it, this is the sincere, the general public isn't. They don't know. They don't know history either. They don't care about history. All they care about is, did they get their lunch, and are they going to get a night's sleep and have enough money for gas tomorrow? That's it. But the people that are with it, they're in charge of the machinery and making it go, the computer world, all of that, and we can't let go of the realm, we can't walk away because we're in danger. And the people that are in the know this. Whatever's up in their mind of what they see happening electronically and otherwise, they see it. The average person doesn't see it. They see it. And we can't afford to let go of the wheel trying to control the big machine. We get in trouble even worse. We can't afford to walk away from what we've created. Do you understand? We can't afford to leave it. We have to hang on and do it because we're in trouble if we let it go. You got that part? That's our system. That's why they're so caught in what they're doing. Secondly, to add to that, the other side of it is the Arabs. And in the light of the Arabic world and all of that, Muslims and all of that, interestingly enough, let's add that piece so you see this. Now, here comes, in the days before Muhammad, Zuhair, Zuhair, an elder, he's a older, little older contemporary than Muhammad. And he said this, quote, "I have seen doom, D-O-O-M. I have seen doom let out of the dark, let out in the dark, like a blind camel. Those it struck died, and those it missed lived to grow old." Unquote. That was looking at life. A blind camel hitting. Now let's do it from the Quran. In the light of that, with Muhammad and that. So, here's the official Muslim view. It's pure fatalism. Quote, every nation has its appointed time, and when their appointed time comes, they cannot keep it back an hour, nor can they bring it on. The Quran, Roman numeral 7, verse 33, Roman numeral 16, 63, the Quran. Pure chance and fatalism. Got it? So we got the big machine, us humans, and then we got that kind of thinking, that pure fatalism. It just, you have nothing to say. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and Allah is going to do it. Now, having said that little bit, now the exercise. You got that part. You got it. So far, I'm looking across the globe, and I don't see history hasn't been, no one's been taking history to heart to see where it's going. No one's paying attention to secular history, which is in the light of sacred history. The Bible tells it where we are, but no one's paying attention. They don't want to pay attention. They're caught up. Now, over if you would please, in the light of that, to that exercise, we need that exercise, over to Ecclesiastes again, just to go through it, because we need it at this point. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And remember, Ecclesiastes is looking at life on earth under the sun, leaving God out of the picture. Looking at human life as God, God is missing. How is human life to be understood without God? 12 chapters telling us. We did it on Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3, everything, verse 1, there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, etc. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance and jump around. Here's all these wonderful things. Everything has us up and down. It all has that. Keep and without reading it all. Now, verse 9, what profit in the light of everything coming and going? What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he labored? In other words, knowing is a season for everything, and we aren't in charge of the seasons. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. So here we are, and the world has chosen, understandably, to try to steer this great machine to try to make it come out with fatalism and chance and on the one side and our control to make our system work at whatever it cost. Now, and therefore, verse 11, and he hath made everything beautiful, useful, In its time, in its time. He has set the world, eternity, in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. In other words, if you leave God out of the picture, you're stuck reading 12 chapters that you can't solve anything. You can't solve anything without God. I got to do it. Try it. You can't do it. We don't have the future. We don't have. We know what's happening. It's awful, awesome. But we can't control it. That's right. That's right. Now, having said that, down in verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men... Why are you going to do all this, God? Because I want you to know me, and you don't want to know me. If you're going to leave me out, this is how you're going to be. If you leave me out of the picture, you're doing with your machinery and your fatalism and your all of it. You're stuck trying to figure it out without me. Verse 14 again, the middle of the verse. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, why that men should fear before him. Verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. That's history. History keeps repeating itself. But no one's paying attention. You ought to learn something from history. I have been, and God requireth that which is past. It also, God, what he said, has to, maybe we read it in Isaiah 46 and that, all that I say I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it. That's what I'm going to do. So what do you want? And I said it, but you didn't pay attention that I said it back here. And now here you are living as if I never said anything. As if I never said anything. I told you. So therefore, chapter 7. Chapter 7. Consider, verse 13. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? You can't do it. Verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. You're going to have a good day and a bad day. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one over against the other. To the end that man should find nothing after him. No, you can't have an answer. There are no answers. When you're done with everything, you're thinking, you're reading 1,000 books, and doing everything, when you're all done, you have no answer. You have no control. You have no control. While you think of the future, you're hanging onto the wheel, the big machinery, and whatever culture you're in, whatever people are trying to control life. Now, over again, chapter 7:13. And in verse 15, chapter 7. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth the life of his wickedness. The bad guy lives 100 years, and you die at 50. That doesn't make sense. Why shouldn't the good guy live? That isn't the word. You're leaving God out. Remember, well, reading it's here, we're going to see it here. I'm looking at it, in fact. Chapter 8, going directly if I can. Verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not, N-O-T, executed speedily. Why don't you fix it fast? But it isn't. It isn't fixed, the bad things. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That they don't, it just God lets it go. Why could you let it go? Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. And verse 13, it will not be good for the bad guy. The good guy's going to come out, but it looks like the good guy isn't in control. He isn't. God's in control. And the world system, God is saving people out of the system. He leaves them in the system, but he's saving them out of it. He isn't saving the system. He isn't saving the world system in its religion politic. He isn't saving that. He's condemned it. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in line, chapter 9. And you'll remember verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not, N-O-T, to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. They can't. Time, the clock goes by. We don't learn, we just keep repeating history. We don't learn much from it. And therefore, we keep going, and no matter who we are, a king, a pauper, doesn't matter. We're caught. Verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. They just don't, we don't learn anything, and we get one thing after another historically. We go down the corridor of time. Over, if I can, back over to chapter 8, and in verse 6. Therefore, chapter 6 and verse 8, there is no man that hath power, remember the word power, the rule, power. There is no man that hath power, the rule, over the Spirit, to retain the Spirit. In other words, you can't keep alive. I want to keep living and keep living. You don't have the right. You don't have that power. Hang on. You don't have that. Neither hath he power, rule, the day of his death. You don't have that either. And if you want to go kill yourself, you can try to kill yourself. But you better be sure you're going to kill yourself, because if God doesn't want you dead, you could blow a bomb up on top of your head, and God will keep you alive anyway. So you aren't going to win if you're going to do it. If God doesn't want you to die, then you're not going to die. That's the way it is. You don't control your death. Therefore, if I can, in verse 8, no power in the day of his death. There is no discharge, like going rest and relaxation in military to take a break. There is no break. There is no relief. There is no day off in that war. It never changes. Monday through Sunday, day after day, hour after hour. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. It isn't going to come out. You leave God out, you're going to have trouble. Therefore, over to chapter 12 and down to the end, the conclusion. Chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, it's all going to come out. That's the bottom line. But you're on earth. If you're going to leave God out, you're not going to come up with the answers. And you're back to the machine, as it were, the computer, hoping somehow it'll be all right. But you have no control. You think you do, but you don't. You don't have it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over if you would please, over to Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, God helps us some more. And you'd recall in Psalm 73, and what we're looking at, as we do this little bit again, you're looking at your, I'm looking at each one of us look in our little head, and here we are. We think so much, we understand so much. That's what we do. How much do we understand? We understand the reality in our thinking, a percentage of what? And that's all. All the rest of our thinking is unknown to us. Years ago, remember we did it with Einstein and that. They said of Einstein, Albert, Einstein, he only used 2% of his brain. 98% of it he never used. You never use all your brain. That's no offense to you. You never use it. Every single second that you live on planet Earth, you're absorbing right now. You're absorbing a little bit here and there as you listen, maybe. But everything else is happening and you're absorbing it. You don't even pay attention to it because you're conscious of this little piece of you. This piece of you you're unconscious of. So the ignorance of yourself, you have to guard against your own ignorance. You understand? Because you understand this at the very moment, all of this is happening. But you don't understand it. And it's in here to absorb and catch things, but you don't. So we have to understand what? The wonderful, wonderful Ecclesiastes. God, what are you trying to say to us? I want you to understand that God said the future and time is it's God's wonderful work to outwork it, time, and all that his plan is. The plan, remember the paintings we've had with up here, the picture, here you are, little dot. All of that has to be worked out in a most wonderful way. You just know this. All the rest of it has to come together. So we have to understand the surgery, the wonderful surgery that God does for us to help us understand. God has to help our ignorance. And if God doesn't cut into it to get us to have a little bit more understanding, we remain stuck in our ignorance. And we understand this little bit every day when all of this is happening. And we don't give any space to understand our ignorance is crippling us because we think we understand, and we do. And we're trusting our little bit of understanding, you with me? A little bit of understanding, and we're losing out. Because all the rest of it is missed. And our ignorance is killing us in the sense of really being able to exercise a wonderful walk with God. So what do I need to do, God? I need to go, and this is what I understand, this little bit. The rest of all I don't, God, God does. The providence of God does. The outworking of God is outworking itself. And therefore, when I look to God, he has all of those. All knowledge, he foreknows, he foresees. He's doing everything properly and in order to outwork his will. I just work with this little bit of me that I understand. And I must be trusting God because I understand that I really don't understand. I have to understand I'm pretty stupid. Is that all right? And I have to trust God because I don't know. So therefore, I'm going to go and trust God. That's right. That's what God wants. That's the whole book of Ecclesiastes, to get you to pay attention to God, because you don't have the pieces, and you can't do a thing about it. God's in charge to work it out in a most wonderful way. Psalm 73. So what do we cry? Here's the psalmist. God help us. Truly, verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. God's a good God. Yes, he is. But, here's the psalmist, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. What was your problem? What was your diagnosis? What's the problem with you? I'm looking at the world around me. I'm trying to understand life. In my life, my world around me, I'm trying to understand it. Therefore, verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. In other words, death doesn't bother them. We just bury the next person and keep going, and the system keeps going. We've got our hands on the wheel. We can't afford to let go. What we're doing, going down, we're trusting the system. Or if I'm Arab, the Quran, I'm trusting chance and fatalism. If the camel doesn't hit me, I'm going to live. If the camel hits me, I'm dead. God, who knows? That's what they have to say. It was wonderful to have a talk with a Muslim. Now, here we are looking. Verse 3. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. In other words, I'm looking at the world around me, and they got the hands on everything, politics and control and everything going, and they have food on their plate and coming and going, and the people are just happy enough to exist around them, however it is, it's good enough, without understanding, as we keep getting carried along. Therefore, I'm looking at the world, if I can. Verse 6, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. In other words, they're way off the wall. They're doing all kinds of stuff. That's what's happening in our world, politics and all of it. It's corrupt up to here. Not just our country, other countries. It's corrupt. They're doing what they're doing. China, etc. Russia, North Korea, whatever. Now, so therefore, here's the believing heart. He's looking. I'm struggling. Aha. So God, trying to figure it out. Verse 8. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak speak loftily. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. In other words, they tell God to drop dead, and they keep going. That's what they're doing. Now, with that in mind, that's the heart, trying to put this, get the thing in order. Therefore, verse 10, therefore this people, His people returned hither, and that means putting that together. In other words, the prosperity, the system is so functional, and people are living in it happily, no matter what the price of gas or inflation or anything. We adjust to whatever, and we're all happy. Have a Merry Christmas, you see? That's enough. Wow. Now, so therefore, what are we going to do? His people look at the system and they leave God out to get into the system, its popularity, its pleasure, its prosperity. They leave it. They look to God. I'm looking to God. And God isn't doing anything for me, so I'm going to go and get caught up. And his people are enticed into the system. Do you understand? The believers. Therefore, verse 10, his people returned hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. In other words, the world feeds us, and whatever, and all the different things. In California and all the different things, you know, where they're paying them. If you live homeless, you get so many $1,000, probably paid vacation to someplace, and everything, and you live in your little hut out there on the street, messing everything up with drugs and everything else. So that's what we're doing. It doesn't make sense, but we're doing it. Now, a frustrated believer, what am I going to do? Verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain. I tried to see it, but I didn't. I washed my hands in innocency. I'm not doing the stuff. I'm not doing it, but it's there. I can't make it go away. I can't change it. No, you can't. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, verse 15, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. If I start telling them, they don't want to listen anyway. When, verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I really tried to think it through, what the world is like, think of the Sunday morning worship on the trials and crucifixion. It's an awful thing, but we don't see it. God does. Awful. Now, therefore, why did you fix it? Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. I understood the system. And that's why you read Ecclesiastes, to remind yourself. It's all there. It isn't going to go away. And it's there. And you have to understand, it isn't going away. You have to find God. If you find God, then you'll see why it's there. Because the world says we can do it without God. And God says, no, you can't. And the world is frustrated because every time it gets something gains, they lose it. They lose it. And each one rises to power and someone else takes over. The system's changed. People change. The whole thing is crooked. That's what it is every day. That's where it is. It's the way the world is. So we don't get all sad. That doesn't mean you don't go to bed and have a good night's sleep. Now, I went into the sanctuary. Then I understood their end. I had to get back to God. That's what we have the advantage. Here we are sitting on the Lord's Day, just little old us. I don't know what other people do. I don't know that. I just know for little old us. And little old us are doing what? We're looking and seeking to exercise God's wonderful person and God's wonderful presence in a practical, real way to be able to understand the world in which we live. And we aren't just getting some information. I hope you see that. I'm not doing that. I don't do that. I never did that. It may look like I do it. I may goof a lot of times. I don't know. But I'm telling you where it's going, where I am. It's to make it work. It has to work. Otherwise, we're wasting our time giving you the words. It has to work. That's why when we go into the sanctuary, you ought to expect when you come to get something. And that's what makes it hard, because you're sitting there, and I would like to just go and go fishing on a big boat and never catch fish, and who cares? But I have to say, and here she comes. I can't afford not to feed you. I can't afford not to do my job. I'm obligated. Not God is obligated. Do you understand? That's what God does. It's a wonderful thing. I don't know how many assemble. I don't know what they do. I'm just telling you what we're doing. And you may not understand it, and you may not care, but I'm trying to help you understand. It's pretty serious. It's heavy stuff, wonderful stuff to make it. Now, so What the same? Here we are, sanctuary. And time. Pretty soon, time's going to be gone. And you know what? When time's gone, we aren't going to be able to listen to anything. We're just going to be able to be exposed to God's awesome person forever. And all we can do is go. There's no language for us because there are no word language. There's no language here for there. God's going to go and help us on our journey into forever with God. That's all. Now, so Psalm 73, picking up verse 22. That'll fit. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. I understand that. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I'm caught up with you, God. That's what you're doing. You aren't trying to get to heaven and get better. The God of heaven is here. The God of heaven is in your heart if you're saved. You already have heaven in your heart. Do you understand? You already got what heaven's going to be. Is what? It's about God. And here is God in you, exercising here until there. And there. So, God, that's what we want to do. And what does the psalmist say? When I went into the sanctuary, I looked and understood there's God in his magnificence. Like Job, we did last Sunday, remember? Because of the weather, we did all that in the process. And Job said, I was so ignorant and stupid. God, you're too wonderful. Thank you for putting me through all of those things to learn you are something else, God. Isn't that good when you get that? God, you're something else. You say it from your heart. You're something else, God. Wow. Now, so, therefore, who have I in heaven but you, God? No, only you, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and our time is being eaten up, over, if I can, to pick up, over to Psalm 42. And add to that the sanctuary. And in the sanctuary, Psalm 42, if I can. And picking up, please, remember my verse 3, the psalmist. My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You're a believer. We aren't talking about church going. We're talking about being a believer. Being believers, they expect something. Church, they don't. I go to so-and-so church. They don't expect anything. You go to church. So what? Everyone goes to something. You go to something. Ah, but I know God as my Savior. Ah, now we expect something. So where is your God? We don't say that to the average churchgoer. We only say it to people that say they know God. Where is your God? Now, having said that, that's the background. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with me. I remember Psalm 73. I have gone with a multitude. I went with them. Where'd you go? To the house of God. And with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day, the holy day, Christmas, etc. And here they're keeping holy day. And verse 5. Why? Then out in the street, I never asked why. They want to know, where is your God? But when I came into the sanctuary, looking to God and his word, all of a sudden, I changed my whole thinking. Isn't that true when you come to church sometime? Sometime you got all kinds of things in your mind, and you come to church, and if you're listening at all, You have to think a little bit and you change your thinking. Your thinking gets fixed a little bit, hopefully gets fixed. So here they are. Oh, here they are in the house of God. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's what I say. And why art thou disquieted, anxious, divided in your mind, disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance, his face. God is going to give me his smile, his countenance. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for God to be, I want to see God's wonderful, delightful working, his providential management of all the pieces. I have my little piece. He has all the pieces. And I'm looking to God. Why am I discouraged? No, God, you know everything. Out there in the street, they don't know and they don't care. But God, I'm reminded as I sit in the sanctuary of your wonderful person and presence. Wow. God, why am I disquieted? Why am I all up despondent and disappointed and depressed or discouraged? Why? I don't have to be. No, sir, I don't. Looking to God. And again, over in verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? They never shut up. They keep after me. Why? Because you keep being a believer, and you're trying to be a healthy believer, and they can't afford to have healthy believers, because that makes them look bad. Makes them look bad. And you know that for when people get saved. People get saved and they have their families. They get saved and their families, whatever their background is, and the person tries to share that they're saved, forgiven in God's grace. And they aren't happy. Because if they received the good news that you got saved and forgiven, they would have to confess that all that they have believed all their life is wrong. Their whole background is wrong. And they can't afford to do that. That's very embarrassing to have to do that. So we back off. Now God, having said that, verse 14. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, divided in my mind? Within me, hope thou in God. Why? For I will yet praise him who is the health. Remember back down in verse 5, you have the word help. And then you slide up in verse 11, the word health. Help, health. Same word, health. So in verse 5, he is the help. I see his face. Verse 14, because I've followed through in looking to God, in the end of verse 11, I will yet praise him who is the health, the healing of my face. His relaxing, his sureness translates and transforms and transplants, comes to mind. So that on my face, I'm happy no matter what they say, no matter where is your God, just be quiet. Our God is in Psalm 115, if you quoted. My God's in the heaven doing whatever he wants. You go talk to my God. My God's a wonderful God, you see. And he's changed me. He changed me. Wow, he did that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm Philippians. Philippians and chapter 4. And recall in the light of God's wonderful surgery. So we want to do what? We want to look to God. We want to look to God. I want to be able to see from God's window. God, we just read it in the beginning on Isaiah 45 and 46. God said, I'm the only God and the only Savior. I have the beginning and the ending. I have it all in order. So I'm going to look to God. I'm not only going to look to God, I'm going to lean upon God. Lean, lean, lean upon him. Do you know, dear, if you have a need sometime, isn't it wonderful when you have something to lean on sometime? Just to support you. Just to lean on it. I don't mean a cane either, even more than a cane. You lean on it. You lean. Support. Sometime when I'm in the shower, you'll think this is stupid, but I don't. You know, sometimes I have a little shower, not a big shower, like this. I have a little shower this big. Okay. And so it doesn't take much to anyway. So here's the thing. And every now and then, also every shower. So you know my personal life, what can I tell you? I go and lean as I'm watching. I lean against that shower. And I say, God, thank you that I can be supported. I lean against it like that. Thank you, God. Thank you, there's a place to lean for support. Thank you. I do it. I don't know what you do in the shower, but that's what I do in the shower. You see. It's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that, in the shower, I need to lean on God, look to God. I need to go and learn of God. I need to learn. That's what we're doing. Unless we're exercising over and over again. And that's what it takes, because your old nature is going to go and zip all of this away from you as much as it can. As much as you can, your old nature is going to take this all away. That's what it's going to do. So you have to say, whoops, nope, I'm not going to let it go. So therefore, God needs to look and learn. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Looking to God, trusting God, in general, abiding, branch in the vine. And when you got a specific problem, you give it to God. When you give it to God, remember when we study prayers and all of that, praying. And one of the things we learn when we're praying and to pray is we pray the prayer of thanksgiving. And so when we look to God, we talk to God, give to God, whatever it is, and we give to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2 and that, to outwork the will of God, not to be conformed to the world. We're going to outwork the will of God. That's what we're going to do. And as we outwork the will of God, our God's going to go and do what he does. So God, we're looking to you. And what are we going to do? I don't know how he's going to work it out. I don't know. But God is. I'm going to trust him. And then we say, thank you. Thanksgiving. You don't want to leave Thanksgiving off. Thank you. Thank you, God. If I don't say thank you, I remember we showed all these things. I give it to God. Here's the problem. God, here's my problem. Do you see it? There it is, God. I'll tell you about it in case you don't know. I'll try to help you understand my problem. And so I'm going to tell you about my problem. And God, thank you for listening. And where's my problem? I didn't thank God. If I thank God, I don't have it. I gave it to God with thanksgiving. Otherwise, I'm still carrying it. And I'm not trusting God in it. Do you understand? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And in the process, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall mount up and keep your hearts and never sin. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. A little bit. And remember, we did the wonderful, wonderful outworking. God help us in our ignorance. So that we understand our ignorance, so that we aren't so caught up in our thinking as if we had everything, and we sure don't. Therefore, you remember last time because of the weather, and we did a little thing on Job because of the weather that was there last Sunday. And we did that little poem, that little thing. Here we are, God outworking his will in your life. Spin cheerfully. Think of a weaving, as we read last time. Spin cheerfully. Spin tearfully. He knows the way you plod. Spin carefully. Spin prayerfully. and leave the threads with God. You're out working tomorrow, tonight. God, we just have to work through it. A little bit we understand. God has the rest of it. So we work through it, trusting God, looking to God, outworking it. All the world says, where's your God? We're looking to God to outwork what he's going to do. And he's outworking what he's going to do. And I'm going to go and outwork it. And I do everything. I don't know how it's working out. I'm looking down here. And you remember, we had a rug once. We did that. Had a piece of it up here. And here's the rug, a beautiful rug up here. But underneath it, all the little threads were hanging. Little threads. When you and I are working the day, when we look, all we see is little threads. And we don't know, nothing. But when you look down from heaven, from above, it's a wonderful pattern. A wonderful rug is being woven because God's looking at it and outworking it. I only see the threads. That's all I see. I don't see the beauty of what he's doing as he changes our life. I don't see that. You got it? Spin cheerfully. Spin cheerfully, not tearfully. He knows the way you plod. Looking, leave all the threads to God and with God. Leave the threads with God. That's how you're going to work it out. Hope you got a little bit. Thank you for your patience again. Trying to do better, but not yet. Anyway, we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you. Our God and Father, deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in every way. God, it's just us. And God, it isn't our sleep. It isn't anything. It's making sure that we've grabbed hold of a little better understanding of our journey through time so that we can access our wonderful, awesome relationship to you in a practical, profitable way. And our God, we're going to thank you. Spirit of God, I thank you with all my heart. Thank you for honoring our Lord. And Father, I don't appreciate you like I should. But God, I do appreciate you. I just don't. God, I'm just me. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, give safety in the road, and we'll thank you. Now, having said that, we sang 577 this morning, which was in the morning hymn. And since we did that this morning, we're going to do it again. Only this time I'm going to change the stanza so that you don't feel bored. Okay. If I can, 577.